To the thrill-packed, wonderful world of the at-large regional leaders and ALAC room. This is where what we like to think a lot of good policy decision-making input comes from. And I'd like, as a member of the at-large advisory committee, to welcome all the ATRT members here today. You will be given one of these. We work in three languages. We have simultaneous real translation going on into French and to Spanish from English. If you have any trilingual skills and you can do French, Spanish and English, you may not need one of these hanging around your neck. Unless you're good in three languages, I suggest you do get one of these to hang around your neck. So if the ATRT do not have these around their neck, they might want to put up their hand so they can be given one. The other thing that you will need to know is that English is on Channel 1, Channel 2 is French, Channel 3 is therefore Spanish. To start them, you separate the earpieces and it will suddenly start. You press the centre button to get 1, 2 or 3 to choose your language channel, and then you've got the slide around to do your volume, and Louis is already working it out so he can hear me in quadruple, which is a scary thing. You're all eating and that's good, because what we want is to have a fairly relaxed but nevertheless interactive and productive conversation going on here today. So we've got the chairman of the ATRT. I think I've done my housekeeping, excepting, thank you Heidi, each member of the ATRT should receive a small thumb drive or USB stick. Can I please make sure each of the ATRT members have one of those? If not, Heidi in the pink jacket will provide you with one. That gives you an awful lot of background material that you might want to look at later. That said, Brian, you've got a microphone to push in front of you, so I'm going to take my role back into ATRT, stop being the chair of the ALAC for the rest of the day again, and hope we have a full, frank and fearless discussion, particularly from the regional leaders. We have the questions you've all had for some time, section 9.1 from the AOC. You know what the public comment questions are. We want to hear from you and what you've brought to this meeting from your rank and file members, which is what? Are we close to 130? Matthias, what's our total number of ALSs now?
121.
121 and rising. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. My name is Brian Cute. I am the chair of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, and thank you all very much, not only for meeting with us, but providing us lunch. Very much appreciated. I'd like to introduce the members of the review team or have them introduce themselves, if you wouldn't mind. Warren?
May I suggest that we go around like that? We both present themselves. Then, Dave, you can start, and then we go.
Each person introduce themselves in the room, if you would.
Thank you.
Starting at the end. Thank you.
Yell loudly. No. This should be moved up to one mark.
Yeah.
I'll take this down to that side.
Dave Kishundoyal, President of the Internet Society, ISOC Mauritius, NOMCOM appointee to ALAC. I'm a member of the EXECOM.
Warren Edelman, I'm the president of GoDaddy.com and a member of the ATRT review team.
Carlton Samuels, I'm a member from the University of the West Indies in Jamaica and a NOMCOM appointee to ALAC.
Michel Chonon. Coordinator General
Regional Coordinator of the CAPTA NGO Consortium for the Promotion of Documents of Africa. My name is Olivier Muron. I work at France Telecom in Paris, and I'm a member of ATRT.
I'm Carlos Aguirre. I'm member of ALAC for the region of Latin American Caribbean. Andres Piazza, president of LAC Claro in Latin American and Caribbean. Sylvia Helen Leder, member of ALAC for Latin American and Caribbean region.
Gareth Sherman, ALAC, North America.
Evan Leibovich, chair, North American region.
Louis Lee, senior network architect at Equinix, member of the San Francisco Bay ISOC chapter, and...
ILS member, yay!
I'm serving as the chair of the ASO Address Council, member of the RT.
Hi, Larry Strickling. I'm a member of the review team from the U.S. Department of Commerce.
Tijani Benjamin.
Tijani.
Of Afaralu.
Azizi Leli, president de l'ISOC.
Leli, I'm the president of ISOC, Morocco.
Willie Curry from the Association for Progressive Communications.
Manuel Ismail, Egypt GAC representative and vice chair of the RT.
Alan Greenberg, NOMCOM representative from North America.
And vice chair. Of ALAC and Geneso liaison. It's for him. Sébastien Bachelet.
Sébastien Bachelet, member of ISOC France, former president of ISOC France, and vice president of ALAC. I represent European users.
I guess Brussels.
Devan Antilat Singh, secretary from the Latin American Caribbean region.
Kira McCarthy, an ILS member.
Fiona Alexander, U.S. Department of Commerce.
Fabio Plasanti, member of the ATRT, until recently with the European Commission.
Adam Peake, NOMCOM appointee to the ALAC.
Patrick van der Waal from the ISOC Luxembourg ELS and also a member of the ALAC and SSEC.
Annalisa Roger, vice chair of the San Francisco ISOC, so ALS member for Norallo.
Fawad Bajwa from Pakistan, and the vice chair of the Asia-Pacific at large.
I'm Vivekanandan, professor of law and representing ALAC Asia-Pacific region from India.
Hello. My name is Mohammed al-Bashir. I'm from Sudan, member of ALAC from Afral.
My name is Wolf Ludwig. I'm chair of European at large, regional at large organization.
My name is Eric Iriarte. I am the general manager of LACTLD, CCTLD Association of Latin American Caribbean. Also, I am a member of ATRT and was one of the founders of the ALAC in the past and LAC RALO. Thanks.
Rudy Van Snick from ISOC Belgium, chair of ISOC Belgium and CCNSO liaison in ALAC.
Uri Olensipuro, ISOC Finland.
Thank you all, and welcome again. We have up on the screen the questions that were provided to you in advance of the meeting. Cheryl's indicated that, at least from the regional groupings, there may be some specific feedback. What we'd like to do with the next 50 minutes that we have is have as open, comfortable, and frank a discussion as possible. To hear from you in response to the questions that we put on the in the letter to you, but specifically if there are examples of ICANN decisions or ICANN processes that you think merit specific attention. The review team has to deliver some recommendations at the end of December for improvements mapping to all of the five areas in paragraph 9.1 of the affirmation of commitments. So this is an open discussion. I'm going to open the floor now and look forward to hearing from you. Does anyone have something they'd like to respond to?
Go ahead, Evan.
Hi there. This is Evan Leibovich, Chair of North American Region. I guess I'll start off with something that I guess has stuck in the craw with a number of ALSs that I've been involved with, and it has to do with a perception of ICANN as an industry organization as opposed to a multi-stakeholder body. You asked for a couple of specific examples, so I'll give you one that, for whatever reason, just seems to stick in the craw of people, and that is the fact that ICANN holds secret meetings. It holds them with its registrars. There was one in Toronto. There was one in Rome. There were actually members of the public that were denied access. And I had a very lively discussion with ICANN staff in Nairobi on this issue. And apparently it seems like either ICANN staff and or the registrars believe that they have a right to have an ICANN-funded meeting that is closed to the public. This goes against every principle of transparency that you're here to talk about. The answers that were given back to me was, well, these aren't policy decisions, these are organizational issues, they're operational issues, and I think there's people in at large that are intelligent enough to be able to make the distinction and understand that these meetings aren't there to discuss policy. But by keeping them closed, you maintain the impression that, number one, ICANN is serving as an industry body as opposed to a multi-stakeholder group, and you allow for conspiracy theories and things like that to happen simply because there is no outside access. Things like, well, we'll publish the minutes after it's done, doesn't quite cut it. And anyway, I'll end there, but you wanted specific examples, and there's one right off the bat.
Thank you, Evan. Others. Alan.
I have some formal comments, but I'll reserve them to other people who have had a chance, because I already had a chance earlier today in the GSO meeting. I'll add one further comment to what Evan said. We did have a meeting with ICANN in Nairobi about it, and the answers changed a little bit, and it ended up being, well, the registrars just don't feel comfortable talking in front of other people. And I appreciate that, but I'm not sure that's a reason to close things.
Thank you. I should note that when we sent these questions to the various constituent groups or bodies within ICANN, we were meeting in Brussels. There was a complete understanding that there wasn't sufficient time for written answers. But we do hope that you will take the time to provide written answers to the questions we provided, as well as written summaries or of the things we're discussing today. So this is not a one-shot interaction with the review team. Any other examples?
Not so much an example, but something that I wanted to let the review team know. This is not our first opportunity or sojourn to work on this as a group. Many of the people in this room were a small part of the members of the at-large community who gathered in Mexico. And as a result of the at-large summit in Mexico, very specific statements were made and passed on to ICANN board about a whole lot of things, not the least of which was the production of about 6 to 8 months, as well as the in-house work we did at the summit on accountability and transparency. Now, we did actually get a recognition that we'd handed over the documentation. That's a nice thing. It's a rare thing in the world of at large, but it is a nice thing. we then went so far as to take those statements and ratify them as at-large advisory committee advice. And therefore, that is advice to the board. Now, there is no requirement for them to do anything, including apparently give us a read receipt up until recently that they receive things like that. But what is important is our community, and it's that community out there, please take a moment to have a look. It is the world. It is rank and file, end users with an interest in perhaps communications, perhaps
consumer issues, but are willing to put time, energy and hopefully have influence on ICANN policies and policy development processes. It sure gets fed up through the regions and then comes to the 15-member ALAC. When something says it is ALAC advice, it has gone through that full spectrum. It is consensus agreed community view, and if there is divergence, we record it. So we actually have had on the record for some time some very specific recommendations, and I can assure you that that's being prepared to come to us as a piece of formal documentation. But some of the regions may also have particular issues, and I'm looking towards Andreas or Carlos or Sylvia. I listen to your meetings. I know your problems. Come on, share them.
Please.
Hi, Adam Peake. I've got three issues, really. One is you'll be going to some of the, you, of course, have been involved in ICANN longer than many of us, but some of you, this may be new, and one of the most important inputs we have as a community into ICANN is the public forum, and it's a very important part of transparency and also accessibility to the decision-making bodies. So we'll have, 4 or 5 hours of people standing at microphones giving comments to the board, and the board will often give an instant response, but there's very little indication that there's anything other than the instant response given to those often quite carefully considered questions. What happens? What does the board do? Does it consider them? How does it consider them? And could we see how that consideration is presented? I've submitted comments into that process, and I have absolutely no clue whether they've just looked at it and gone, ha, silly, or if it is silly, I'd like to know. It's embarrassing, though, that maybe. That's one thing. Further about the board, what we have seen probably a couple of years ago was a development where the board minutes started to show a certain amount of detail of what the discussion was. Not necessarily that member X named said something, but at least you saw a development of the discussion reflected in the minutes. That has disappeared, and we now seem to be back to whereas phrases, when, other than being boring to read, they're not very informative. You just don't know what happened during those long meetings. I think we should see what happens during the board meetings, and some descriptive text of how the meeting developed would be a good idea. And the last thing, and this is something that the ALAC has said in the formal comments that Cheryl mentioned, is we would very much like to see, if we submit comments into a process, how are they considered? For what reason were they rejected? It's absolutely perfectly okay to reject comments. You don't have to accept everything, but we'd like to know, how were my comments considered into a process? And I know that there's a well-known US process for doing this, and I think if you look at the green paper and the white papers that established ICANN, you can see how those ideas were taken into consideration in the response, and then the policy came later. So let's see how our comments are taken into consideration is important, I think. And we have a model there already, so it shouldn't be too hard. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Adam. And that is, as you know, an explicit element of paragraph 9.1 of the Affirmation of Commitments. Others?
There was Evan, and then Sebastian, and then Andreas.
Evan?
Just as a follow-up, is it not possible for the ICANN board to treat advice from ALAC the way it treats advice from the GAC? I believe there's already. Just as a matter of saying you have an advisory council, there's already a procedure in place on how to treat things coming from that other advisory council. Why not just apply the same thing to ALAC? Doesn't mean that everything that ALAC submits has to be agreed on, but if not,